The following message was preached at Redeemer Community Church. For more information about Redeemer, visit us online at www.redeemernc.org.
Today's scripture reading comes from Psalm 56, 1 through 13. Be merciful to me, my God, for my enemies are in hot pursuit. All day long they press their attack. My adversaries pursue me all day long. In their pride, many are attacking me. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? All day long they twist my words, all their schemes are for my ruin. They conspire, they lurk, they watch my steps, hoping to take my life. Because of their wickedness, do not let them escape. In your anger, God, bring the nations down. Record my misery, list my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? Then my enemies will turn back when I call for help. By this I will know that God is for me. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust and am not afraid. What can man do to me? I am under vows to you, my God. I will present my thank offerings to you, for you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. This is the word of the Lord.
Please be seated. I bring you all greetings once again from HITA, the Hyderabad Institute of Theology and Apologetics. And we are thankful to God for this opportunity to join with you all at the Redeemer Community Church's gathering this morning together with our son, Sam, here. Thank you to the pastors and the church leadership for inviting us to come to worship the Lord together with you and to share this message from God's Word for the benefit of all of us. This morning, I don't know how you are doing emotionally, but I am aware of the fact that we are all concerned about some things. We are all bothered about some things, some realities of life. Maybe some of us feel as if we are surrounded by fears coming from different kinds of changing situations, troubles. You might have fears generated by some medical issues or some other kinds of uncertainties which can potentially bring up problems in future. Maybe you are concerned about what's happening in the culture. In India, there is increasing persecution against the church. They have laws that are misused to come and arrest pastors while they are conducting the church services. There is this danger, constant danger hanging on us of physical violence, legally implicating innocent people. And maybe in this country, the changes that are happening with the gender confusion, transgenderism, the economic situation, the political scenario, some of you at least perhaps are wondering what the elections, coming elections hold for us. So we are surrounded by situations and circumstances and experiences that generate fear in us. Some are afraid of losing their jobs and not being able to support their families anymore. Some children are afraid of losing their parents. Some are afraid of being stricken by some debilitating diseases. Some are concerned about their relationship with their spouse or the health of their children. What are you afraid of this morning? Fear is a common human experience. Trouble is a part of normal human life in this fallen world where we are living. I can assure you that we are not the first believers in the history to struggle with fears and tears. Our psalmist David in Psalm 56 that has been read to us, when we look at it, we see him grappling with struggles. Same realities that we are facing, same emotional experiences, same changes all around him. He felt gripped by fear because he was surrounded by enemies who would ridicule him, threaten. If we look at the context given in the description of the psalm, when the Philistines had seized him in Gath. If you read the full story, you know what happened. He was rightfully the king that should take over the leadership of the kingdom from Saul. But Saul could not imagine that happening. He was full of rage and anger. He wanted to eliminate David. And so Saul and his army men were chasing after David. He couldn't find any place of safety and security in Israel. And so he thought he could escape and find some shelter in the land of the Philistines. He thought he could quietly be there in the enemy land, because in his own land he was totally exposed to danger, and fears gripped his heart and mind. And so he goes there, and he was hoping that nobody would recognize him. But soon, people recognized him. They knew that the leader of the enemy armies is among them. They took him to the king of the Philistines. And he pretended to be a madman, an insane person, to hopefully escape from the new kind of dangerous circumstances. So we read that he was surrounded by enemies. And it's against this backdrop that David wrote the psalm that we are looking at this morning. Do we have fears? Do we have uncertainties? Do we have changing circumstances and situation in our own lives, in our families, in our culture, in the schools that our children are attending, or colleges, where oftentimes they are under attack from the enemy, ultimately, and from the forces of darkness? So, we come to this psalm. The mood of it probably is enabling us to connect with the psalmist and the psalm. We find David being exposed to constant danger, and that exposure to danger brings a response of both fear first and faith that drives the fear out ultimately. And so at one level, we can see that this psalm is about David's fears and tears. And at another level, in a more comprehensive way, we can see that this psalm is about faith in the midst of fears and tears. Faith that changes the whole situation. It begins with David's response in faith to God. Be merciful to me, my God, for my enemies are in hot pursuit. All day long they press their attack. My adversaries pursue me all day long. In their pride, many are attacking me. If you read verse number 5 again, he repeats the same thing. All day long they twist my words. All their schemes are for my ruin. They conspire, they lurk, they watch my steps, hoping to take my life. That's the kind of situation. And so against this backdrop, we find David beginning with the common appeal for grace and mercy. In one place he says, man has trampled upon me. All day long, man oppresses me. Trampled upon me all day long. Many fight proudly against me. And so he uses a variety of verbs to generate the impression that his various attackers give to him no rest at all, under attack from all directions. And with nowhere else to turn, he turns to God. God, the only one place where David can still expect to find some mercy and compassion or favor. Can we relate to David's mood? We don't have to be facing people actually trying to kill us to be able to relate to David's mood and emotions. Have you had times when everywhere that you turned seemed to be only revealing more pressure points in your life, more trouble? Have you felt overwhelmed by the adversity that has fallen your way? I don't know what is bothering you. I know you are bothered about some things. I don't know what you are afraid of, what fears are robbing you of the peace that you should be enjoying as God's people. But I know there are fears because it is common to normal human beings in this world. If you have fear, you are normal. If you don't have fear, you are abnormal. For a long time in my life, I wondered if I was afraid of anything. And one final day, I came to realize that I had the fear of heights while driving all by myself in the foothills of Himalayas. CN Towers, Canada, our son Sam, when he was very young, maybe 5 years old, 6 years old, he was crossing that glass shield from which you can see all the way down the bottom of the whole building. And he already jumped over, crossed over several times. When I looked down, there was fear. So I realized I was not abnormal, but normal. David turned to God. There are times when you realize there is nothing you could do except for turning to God. I found myself in these kinds of situations many times in life, but one particular occasion, all of a sudden, almost like a bolt from the blue, we were hit by the news that my wife had cancer in her body. We went for a confirmation that there was nothing because the needle biopsy showed that there was no problem. 3 times, 4 times. And finally, the doctor said, maybe it's better for us to go for a regular biopsy to rule out any possibility. And I took the sample to the lab. And I got the news. I was the first one to get the news. My wife was on the operation table in the Operation Theater. When I got the news, I felt as if the whole world around me was collapsing. Uncertainty, anxiety, wondering what was happening. I had no energy left. My mind was not able to think properly for some time. I lifted my heart up to God, and God gave me strength to look at it from not merely the human perspective, but from the divine perspective. To remember the fact that God is sovereign. To realize once again the truth that anything that happens in the lives of believers happens either because God has planned it or permitted it. So whether it is planning or permitting, our good God is capable of bringing good out of even the worst kind of troubles that he allows us to pass through. 15, 16 years after that, one whole year of treatment, surgery, chemotherapy, radiotherapy, hormonal therapy. But thanks be to God. He proved his presence. He answered our cries for mercy and grace. Under some difficult situations, we didn't even have health insurance. And the doctor said, it will be at least 10,000 Indian rupees. That is huge. But God enabled us to trust in his goodness, in his grace, in his faithfulness. And he had seen us through. And she has been, by God's grace, serving the Lord very faithfully together with me in the Bible college, Hitta, and among women. We can turn to God when we are afraid, when our inner space is dominated by fears of different kinds that bring tears to us. Maybe special needs children. Maybe a loss of job bringing fear about future. Whatever it might be. This is the first thing that we learn from David in this psalm, that when we are troubled from different, trouble coming from different sources, instead of running here, running there, looking here, looking there for help, like the psalmist, we should realize, I turn to the mountains, the hills. Where does my help come from? The help comes from the one who created all these things. The Lord of the universe, the King of kings. The Lord who is ever present with us, never absent. The Lord who has proven himself to be faithful, good, kind, and compassionate, unchanging in his mercy and faithfulness toward us. In our own personal lives, family lives, in the experience of the community or the people of God throughout biblical history and Christian history. As we continue to look at David's words in verses 3 and 4, we find faith that floods his soul and replaces fear. David was afraid, and it looks like not afraid at the same time. We can trust in God when we are gripped by fears of the known and the unknown. We can trust in the Lord when we are afraid. Verse number 3, he says, when I am afraid. And literally, it should be in the day that I am afraid. And that is not just a 24-hour day, but it can be an extended period of time, like the day of judgment, and so on and so forth. So in those seasons of life, those stages and phases of life, We face trouble. We are afraid. Fears haunt us, drive us. There will come, even in future, situations that cause fear and anxiety in us. But in the middle of those fears that bring tears, David says that in that day, when he is afraid, he will put his trust in God. In whom? God Almighty. Whose word, David says, I praise. David is willfully and consciously choosing what he will do when fear struck him and when fear might strike him again. He chooses to trust God. He chooses to put his faith in God, to give the grace needed in that given situation in his life. When he says, I put my trust in God, I will put my faith in the Lord. How do we understand faith or trust? This is not emotionally driven faith. This is not faith in faith itself. This is not blind, unthinking faith. This is not faith that is totally disconnected from knowledge. This is the trust in one whom God, David knew. David knows. Biblical faith is faith in the one you know is faithful. Biblical faith is trust in the one you know is trustworthy. That's why the Hebrews commentary on the faith of Abraham in 11th chapter of Hebrews, verses 17 through 19 says, when he faced the toughest test in his life, he stood there and reasoned in his heart that even if he obeyed God and sacrificed his son Isaac, the son of promise through which a nation should come and a ruler should come, he decided to obey God. Why? Because he considered in his heart, in his mind, that the God who brought this life from their reproductively dead bodies can now bring the son back to life even if he obeyed God and sacrificed him on the altar. The father of the faithful had a reasoning faith, a faith that took the past works of God into consideration. And the word of God reveals who God is in himself. The word of God reveals to us his works that show to us, demonstrate to us who he is, his character. So he says, I will put my trust in the God whose word I praise. He has committed himself to God's word. He has put his trust in God before, and now he chooses to do the same thing again. And so he says, I shall not fear. Psalm 46. We read the psalmist's experience in a slightly different context. This, of course, is not David's, but of Korah. And this is what it says, Psalm 46, verses 1 and 2. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. The Bible never promises that God's people will never pass through troubles. But the Bible very clearly promises the presence of the one who can deal with our problems, with us and for us. Who can empower us to overcome those problems rather than being deviated from our commitment and devotion to the Lord. An ever-present help, which means never absent. Psalmist David in Psalm 23, verse number 4. Even though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Why? Even when I'm passing through such experiences, your presence makes all the difference. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Whatever might be the situation, whatever might be the tough situations that we are passing through, we can be absolutely sure of the fact, which does not depend on our feelings, that God is never absent, ever present in times of trouble. And so he says, therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give away and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Remember the old hymn, fear not, I am with you. The chorus goes like this, no, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me. He promised never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. May this truth grip our imaginations, our responses in times of troubles that bring tears and fears into us. So, the statement that David was not afraid when he says, I shall not be afraid, does not mean that David had found a magical way to move out of that fear situation or fear being magically removed from his heart. What he's saying is that he will not any longer be ruled by his fears. He will not allow fear to be the dominating force in his soul, but he would rather turn his eyes to God Almighty, the one who enabled him, empowered him to kill a bear and a lion and Goliath in the past. Now he is able to bring that to have a bearing on his present crisis and his response to troubles, fear, and tears. He did not deny, and he did not engage in what secular psychologists tell us to do. Self-talk, positive talk. Does it really help? All that is like trying to pull ourselves up by our bootlaces. So, David trusts in God when he was afraid. And that trust in God, his proven track record, the truth about who he is and what he has done and what he is capable of doing, all anchored in the truth of God's word. Well, life is tough. We all know it. Someone said, life is hard, tough. God is good. Don't mix the two. When life is tough, life is hard. Some of us think, oh, God is tough, hard. No, he's unchangingly good, merciful, kind, loving, faithful. Even when we are unfaithful, he remains faithful because he can't do anything that is contrary to his nature. And all the promises that he has given in Jesus Christ are yes and amen for us. So he is turning to God via the Word of God. We can't separate the God of the Word and the Word of God. Is the Word of God the source of strength for us in times of trouble? Are we fixing our eyes on all these changing circumstances that bring fear and tears, or are we fixing our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith, the unchanging God who manifested himself in Jesus Christ? Instead of focusing on troubles, instead of allowing fear to rule his interior, he is going to continue to be guided by God's word so that he could continue to trust in the character of God. After all, the problems that are generating his fear are all sourced in people. But in comparison to God, what is man that I should be afraid of? What can mere men do to me? So he has come to a place when, at one point of time, he was overwhelmed by the dangers that were coming, the fears that were coming from people, from all quarters. But now he is contrasting human power, human ability to damage us, or even Satan's ability to hurt us, with who God is. In comparison to God, all these other forces come to nothing. We sometimes give too much of a higher place to Satan in the scheme of our things and thinking. Of course, we should not be oblivious to his schemes, as Paul says. We should know his methods. But we should not allow that to dominate. So he says, what can man, mere man, or flesh do to me? Flesh means man in his context, but it is used to make striking contrast with God. So when Satan tries to enslave us to fears and bring tears to us through his constant attack, continuous attack, the best thing we have to do is to trust in God, knowing who he is. You know, when we were preparing for this 3-month-long trip, we had some medical concerns. I was experiencing some changes in my blood sugar levels. And at the same time, my thyroid levels started fluctuating. And we faced a situation where we began to wonder if we should cancel the trip or if we should trust in the Lord and go ahead, knowing that God is with us and we are in him and for his kingdom purposes. We decided to trust in the Lord. 2 months have gone by. We have gone from place to place, experiencing his empowerment, his grace needed for this season in life. We are so thankful to see people receiving God's word, accepting God's truth, applying it to their lives, and deciding to do something to see change, to see transformation. Place after place, conference after conference, family seminar after family seminar. We not only had this ministry of teaching and preaching God's word, but spending time with couples who wanted to get some help in applying the truth of God's word practically in their own life situations. What a joy it is to trust in the Lord with the little faith we have and seeing him honoring the little faith. Christian life is full of trouble, as Job experientially understood and said. We will face these troubles as long as we are on this side of eternity, because we are in a world that is affected by human sin and is groaning for its own redemption. And we are in bodies that are waiting for their own glorification, redemption. And it's coming. But as we move in that direction, we have to keep fighting these battles. Are we going to trust in God, the infinite spirit, the creator of all reality, the owner of the cosmos, the source of all good things, the giver of all good things? Are we going to let confidence in the Almighty God govern our attitudes, our interior, so that our actions might also come under that purview? Or are we going to be fearful of the antagonism and the problems created by fleshly beings who have no more ultimate control than we do ourselves? We need to see that the foundation for David's trust is not feelings. It is knowledge of who God is, as his word reveals. Who God is in his character, as his works in our own past and the past of God's people and its history reveal to us. The foundation is his knowledge of God as God has revealed himself in his word. Do you know this book? Is this the source that you run to in times of trouble to see what God has to say about the trouble, about the tears? Martin Luther faced a very dangerous situation. He was asked if he would recant what he believed was the truth from God's word. And he stood in front of the rulers all by himself. He knew God was with him. And God strengthened him, gave him boldness. The night before, he had to stand in the German parliament. A good friend of his goes to him and tells him, "Hey, Luther," with all good intentions to save him from the danger that was lurking. "Hey, Luther, the whole world is against you, man. For now, make sure that you're not going to be eliminated. If you are alive, you can do what you want to do sometime later in some other way." But Luther looks straight back into his friend's eyes and says exactly these words, "My good friend, go and tell the world that it is not the world that is against Luther, but Luther is against the world." And then the next day in the parliament, he says, "I'm not going to recant anything because my conscience is captive to God's word. It is neither good nor safe for me or people to say anything contrary to what God says in his word." Driven by the word, and so driven to the word in time of trouble to deal with fears and tears. You cannot know God, who he is, what he's doing, and what he's capable of doing without knowing this book. I think that one of the main reasons that so many Christians become controlled by their fears and allow fear to dominate their thinking and living is because they spend hardly any time learning from his word about him and drawing closer to him as each day passes by. They know very little about God because they have spent very little time learning of him through his revelation, the word of God. How can you trust when you do not really know him, who he is, what he has done, what he's going to do, and what he is capable of doing in the present? It is not that our fears go away just like that, magically, but when we know God, everything else becomes insignificant by comparison. When we put ourselves under the sovereign authority of the Lord God Almighty, the great I Am, Yahweh God, we will be able to look at everything from this lens and angle. And that's what David did. We can trust in God when we are afraid. We can deal with our fears and tears as David has done by letting his faith drive out his fears so that he might regain confidence, safety, and security in the middle of the troubles. Having decided to trust in God, David moves on by expressing his problem in verses 5 through 9. From these verses, we learn that fear was continuing to attack him. Continuing danger from enemies brings fear again. Verses 5 to 7. All day long they twist my words, all their schemes are for my ruin. They conspire, they lurk, they watch my steps, hoping to take my life. But then, once again, faith comes in. God's mercy and care for David become a reality one more time. Human life has its own ups and downs, ebbs and flows, sad times and glad times. It's a mixed bag. And that is true of the life of the children of God in God's world, where there is an enemy who is trying to distract us from God and his ultimate vision for humanity. And so he turns to God again. He seeks the mercy of God again. He appeals for the care of God because there was nobody who could comfort him from the human angle. And so in verses 8 to 13, he appeals to the mercy of God. He says, "Record my misery, number my wanderings, list my tears in your scroll, or put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your record? Then my enemies will turn back when I call for help. By this I will know that God is for me. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust and am not afraid. What can man do to me?" And then concludes on this triumphant note, "I am under vows to you, my God. I will present my thank offerings to you, for you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life." So God noticed David's misery, took note of David's fears and tears. God enabled David to turn his eyes away from the trouble, the tears and fears to the one who can wipe away every tear. And so, by faith, he's talking about fulfilling his vows. He made a vow to God that if he had answered David's prayers and granted him what he was asking for, he would offer sacrifices to him, thanksgiving to him. He would praise him. Although he's not fully out, by faith he declares, "I'm going to do it." What a difference. To honor and thank God for his protection, he was more than ready already, while he was still passing through troubles, to fulfill that vow in the light of the comfort of the Lord that he experienced. Bear in mind, as I have been repeatedly saying, the troubles did not disappear magically. The fear did not fully disappear from his heart and soul. But faith started dominating. Who God is, what he has done, what he's capable of doing, started dominating his interior. And so he's already praising God. What are you afraid of? Whatever it is, put your trust in the Lord, my brother, my sister. The Lord enabled us to do it. You have concern about the future of your children, the health issues, the special needs children that you are dealing with, the potential loss of job, potential health complications, whatever it might be, whatever it is that you are afraid of, put your trust in the Lord to help you, to see you through, and to give you the grace once again to enjoy the freedom that comes when we put our trust in the unchangingly good, faithful, loving, and merciful God. The evidence of God's love is found in the fact that he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, God the Son, to come to the world and demonstrate his love and covenant love towards us on the cross of Calvary. The one who has given his own Son, Jesus Christ, to save sinners like you and me from eternal wrath. If only you and I can entrust ourselves and our future to him, the one who has already guaranteed our eternal future can now deal with our concerns for the future on this side of eternity. Entrust your present situation to him. Not try to handle it all by yourself. Or not try to handle it with the help of mere men and women. Of course, I'm not undermining the value of Christian fellowship. We need one another. One another phrases, exhortations abound in the scriptures, at least 167 places. We need one another. But ultimately, it is God. When no man can reach us, no woman could reach us and understand us fully, he is right there with all his compassion, knowledge, and wisdom. The one who not only shed his own blood for us, but the one who also shed his tears when he visited the place where Lazarus was buried. He sheds tears along with us, sharing our grief, our fear, our burden, our sense of loss. He's not a distance God, absentee God, like the God of deism, or like the gods and goddesses of Hinduism, where they have to play music and beat drums and do all kinds of things to awaken the sleeping gods. But the God we serve, the God of the Bible, Yahweh, demonstrated by Lord Jesus Christ, who is God with us, is never absent, ever present. He neither sleeps nor slumbers. We are always under his arm of protection, even when we are going through the most difficult experiences that fill our hearts with fears and tears, but with faith in him, we can drive out or overcome the dominance of fear and come to a state in life, where faith is dominating and steering and guiding our thinking and living. God is collecting our tears in his bottle, as the psalmist requested him to do. And ultimately, God is going to wipe every tear away from us, from our eyes, as we read in Revelation 21:4. He is leading us towards that future where there will be no sin, no bad effects of sin, no separation, no death, no hunger, no fear of any kind. And that God who is going to give us the blessing of his total presence and the blessing of the bliss and joy we will enjoy forever, he is already in us, with us, for us, and all around us. Let's trust in him so that we will not live under slavery to any of the fears that Satan brings to cripple us, trip us, slow us down in the way of being saved, sanctified, transformed into the likeness of God whom we worship. This psalm, it appears, is intended as a demonstration of how a righteous person can overcome or triumph over fears and tears caused by enemies and their taunts and ridicules. May this be your experience. May this be my experience. Not once, but as many times as we encounter the troubles. Let's bow our heads and seek the Lord in prayer. Respond to his word. Let us confess if we have failed to trust in him and allowed our minds and hearts to wander away from him. In the middle of troubles, unsettling happenings, situations, problems of different kinds. May faith in the faithful one, trust in the trustworthy one, enable us to deal with our fears and tears in the most godly Christian way possible, as we have come to understand from this experience of David and from this psalm written by David. Lord, help me and help each one of us to lift our eyes away from the temporary, insignificant tests and trials and turn our attention to you, Lord God Almighty, Yahweh God. You neither sleep nor slumber. You are never absent, ever present in time of trouble. Even when we feel that you are absent, you are actually, factually present. You are in us, with us, and for us. What shall we be afraid of? Whom shall we be afraid of? When we learn to trust in you, you are most glorified in us. And we will be most satisfied in you. And so enable me and each one of us to do that and enjoy your peace that passes all understanding. Thank you for hearing our prayers, O Lord. We believe you will answer them as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Redeemer Community Church in Fuquay-Varina, North Carolina. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more sermons, we invite you to visit us online at redeemernc.org.